Blog Talk Radio.
Opportunity to be able to share with you about current events, also to be able to give you some current news that is going on, everything. And it's not just a one-way street, it's an opportunity for us to hear from you too, because it's a two-way street. And so if you, excuse me, if you have friends or neighbors, get on the call, get on the phone and call them, tell them that Straight Talk's on the air, 347-850-1598. That's 347-850-1598, and we'll be more than glad to talk to you and to accommodate your call. Just when you call in, you'll be put in the hold or so that you can get on the air. Okay, it is the month of April, sixth day, and we're so glad to be able to come your way, and we want you to join the conversation. You sure most certainly can, and there's some things that's happened around the nation that we need to be aware of. We don't want to take anything for granted, but is a 40-hour work week a thing of the past, and is $15 an hour, many refers to as a living wage, enough to make ends meet? What do you think? California, which is one of the largest states in the union, has recently went on record to phase in that everybody, I think it's over a two-year period, they would phase in a living wage, where the living wage, the minimum wage, would be $15 an hour. And you may say, yeah, right, where the cost of living out there is extremely high anyway. But, hey, that's what they pushed for. That's what they sought. And the governor signed off on it, Jerry Brown, and that's what it is. And so I'm happy for the Californians who have achieved this here accomplishment. A living wage is very important, and it's very helpful, $15 an hour. But is it enough? Of course. It's never enough if you don't save. I tell you, I'm a firm believer in saving. And you may not believe in saving, but you should, because saving is so important. It is. You can't just, it's really not about how much money you make. It's about how much money you save. And there's keys to financial power. And number one is you got to make it. Yes, you do. You have to make it. And number two is when you make it, save it. Of course, you got living expenses. Some call it the 80-20 plan, 10% to God, 10% to yourself. And that's 20% for you and take out, and then the other 80% is what your expenses are paid on. But you make it, you save it, and then you can even, or you can donate it. And lastly, the last thing you should do is spend it. But we do it the opposite way. We spend it. We make it. We spend it. And we don't invest or save. And we need to learn these keys. That number one, when you make it, save it. Number three, invest it. Number four, donate it. And number five, spend it. It's very important. Yeah. So, but what do you think? Is a 40-hour work week a thing of the past? A lot of countries, a lot of counties, cities, and municipalities have decided to work around the 40-hour week because they don't want to be committed to affordable health care. And so they bypass that so they won't have to pay that. But 40 hours, is it a thing of the past? I don't know. What's your take on it? But anyway, we want you to be committed to saving and doing what you can. But $15 an hour, that seems to be the push at the minimum. The minimum right now, which is $7, I think $7.35 an hour or something like that. You need to be open to getting some more. But how many billionaires do you know? Or millionaires do you know? Most likely, probably none. Well, if you know some, okay, how many can we name? I know in the sports world and the entertainment world, we can think of a lot of millionaires, and some have achieved billionaire status, such as Oprah, to my understanding. But what do they do in terms of helping the community on a consistent and continual basis? It's easy to accumulate for yourself, and I'm not saying that's what, but I believe there's enough money in this country that if people seriously talk the spirit of being a philanthropist and philanthropy, that we wouldn't be in such a poverty-stricken situations that do exist. And as one wealthy person said, if I give all my money away, I won't have none for myself. Well, maybe you should give it away, because it's just the key thing where we are admonished to give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. So, is a 40-hour work week a thing of the past, and is a $15 an hour enough to make it, or for you to make ends meet? Do you know any millionaires or billionaires? If you do, can you call them by name? Well, let's talk about it. Feel free to give us a call, 347-850-1598. We're here for you, and we want to be able to dialogue together. Also, what's happening in current events is that Bernie and Ted, yes, Bernie Sanders and Ted Cruz, they have taken the Wisconsin primaries. Yes, you might call it an upset. Yes. And Donald Trump, the front runner, Ted Cruz, hey, he showed him a thing or two in Wisconsin. He was endorsed by Governor Walker, and it seemed like the people took heed, and they also recognized Ted Cruz. And look at Bernie Sanders. Yes, this here will change the whole political climate. It gives Ted Cruz hope And Bernie Sanders, if he keeps up this trend, look out, Hillary. Something is on the horizon. But what can we do to foster a good contest? Well, I believe that we can pray. The scripture tells us that promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west, but God is the judge. He put it down one and set it up another. So, in a sense, I guess what I'm saying, it's all in the hands of God concerning who is eventually going to be the president of the United States of America. I don't know, but I know it needs to be somebody that won't put us in a situation where we're threatened to be in war because of some ill remarks that were stated and everything. We need to think about all this here. In the meantime, it affects you. It affects you in a way that you may think that it's the elections is something that's out of mind, out of sight. But it's coming down to the wire, and there will be two candidates that will be running from themselves. We have a two-party system here in this country, and unless there's some spoilers or something that's going to come to uproot that, that's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. And it does affect us. It does. But how can the average American, how can they make a difference in their community? I think we should not be so dependent on the politicians to set our affairs in order. I think that we as a community, through community activism and organizing, we can make a difference in our community. We can set a standard where our communities can be a beloved community. And I want to talk about some ways to do that. I think that there are some steps to see that that can happen, that every these here tenants and practice them so that their community can be one of the best communities in the United States of America. I believe that there's no reason why our cities, if we really are serious, sincere about making a commitment to make a difference in our communities, why they can't be cities that are outstanding and unique in its scope and vision. But it calls for a commitment from the people. And I want to talk about five ways that I think that that can happen, how to put your city in the running to make a difference, to be an all-American city. It can happen. It can happen. And it don't have to just happen for chance. It don't just happen. Only have to happen so many days out of a 365-day year, 52-week. It can happen by you making a commitment that I'm going to make sure that I'm going to represent my neighborhood well and my community. I'm going to be a participant in seeing that my community is over and above the par of being a good community. But what are those areas? What are those steps that it takes to make this nation of ours an outstanding nation made up of cities where people take the livelihood, the well-being of their community seriously? I think the first thing and the foremost thing is that every city, and this may not be the case of your city because each city has its own culture, but I think every city should be a good place, an outstanding place, a unique place in which to raise a family. If you don't feel good about where you live, and you feel that your family's in jeopardy there, then I would do my best to try to relocate. If you can't work to make a difference, if you're scared, if you're afraid, then I would relocate. It should first and foremost be a wonderful place where you can raise a family. Things that helps to maintain that so that we can retain that in raising a family. Because if it's a good place where we can raise a family, What that would do is would bring about diversity in the job market, the economy. Businesses are not going to locate in a community where they feel that it's not a good place to raise a family, or if there's high crime. I'm not saying there should be absolutely no crime. And really, I think I will say that. There should be no crime, but we know that's not being realistic because there is crime in most of our communities today. But there should be really low crime. There should be a good climate where you can raise a family, where there's a diversity of job market, where the economy is diversified. It's not ruled by one big conglomerate, but there's several good, stable, Fortune 500 companies that are there and enterprises that are there that can help to make that economy consistent and like a bubble where people can participate freely in the economic development of that economy there. And, of course, as I said, saying no crime, but low crime. Because high crime is going to be a deterrent to a place, be it being a place where you can raise a family, and also a deterrent to diversity in the job market. Nobody want to locate a business where there's high crime. You know, it's just not going to happen. And there, a crime-ridden neighborhood is not good. And so you want to work to make sure you have low crime, which comes about by having good neighborhood watches. I'm not talking about the crazy stuff that Zimmerman man was a part of, who takes on the spirit of a vigilantism and feels he's got to mimic a policeman in his own way, to the extent where you take innocent lives and you are suspect of everybody that comes into the neighborhood that don't quite look like you. No, I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm not at all. I'm just saying from the stance that we should have a community where there's low crime. If you look at the homicide rate in most cities, that's an indicator. That's an indicator. I mean, there's some communities where there are hundreds of people that are killed, different things. And I think I want to say this because, you know, a lot of people are up in the air and they're talking about how can you espouse that Black Lives Matter when it seems like Black life don't even care about their communities in terms of the high rate of killing amongst their own race? Well, I want to say this here, that we don't live in Africa. This is not a tribe situation where everybody is accountable for what goes on in the tribe. We are individuals, yes. We're individuals and we collectively work together for the betterment of mankind, humankind. But you can't, it's just wrong to judge a race of people because of what individuals do to other individuals within that race. I was raised up with my parents saying every tub must stand on its own bottom. And so as individuals, we want to work together to secure our communities and to rid our communities of unwanted behavior and things that are counterproductive and destructive to our communities. But many times we don't take to look at why is it that element exists in our community. Why is it that people feel free to take and rob and steal and kill. There's something going on there. But I believe that we can make a difference. We really can. And I think that there's things that we can do in our communities to make a difference. I think another thing is in terms of our graduate retention. In the community I live in, there are thousands of annual student graduates who graduate from undergrad as well as graduate school, they leave the community. After they graduate, they're going on. to fulfill their dream or to fulfill their goal in another community, somewhere in another part of the country. If we're able to work seriously to retain a lot of that talent, because a lot of people, their majors are in most of the major career areas, such as engineering, such as just whatever that it takes to enhance that community. If we can retain those individuals, it would really make a difference. It would make a difference to be able to retain those. But you're not going to have anybody staying here where they feel that there's no jobs. That's why I said the diversity of the job market is very, very important. And it all kicks in together in terms of raising the family, diversity of job market, and low crime, graduate retention. It is very important. And to keep some of that bright young talent here, the next generation, lifting them up, is so important. If we could do that, I don't know why we don't really think about that or work toward that, but we happily just watch them just drift away, go away. But we should work at that. And I think that some of the big companies need to go to these graduate institutions and to let them know that they have job placement, that they have opportunities for them right in their firm. This is how you enhance a community. This is how you grow a community. And you keep the brightest of the brightest here instead of it drifting away, going away. I know a lot of sharp young 30 years, have made a career, different things, and have gone on and have successfully become wonderful individuals in terms of raising their family here. But also, too, in terms of the opportunities may not exist as well as it may in the other community. So that's something I think we need to work at, graduate retention. Another area, which I think is very important, is the spiritual climate. Yes, the spirituality of a community is so important. It's just so important. It can't be something that you just talk about. It's something you got to be about. I know in our community that there's over 200 churches that exist there. And you wonder, what are they all doing? But I do know that I'm not talking about religion now. Spirituality in one's life can have an impact in that community. I try to be a spiritual person, try to be a man who's committed to the spiritual life of what's going on in that community, because people are human beings. People are part of this great chain of humanity, and people have different issues in their life, and they're confronted with different things on a daily basis. And sometimes these issues are bigger than ourselves, and people don't know quite how to deal with these issues that confronts them. And a lot of people give up. A lot of churches are just in the holy huddle. They have failed the people in terms of not practicing inclusion. They're still about segregation and isolation. And then there's others that are mega of nature and size, and they're just about promoting themselves and not really empowerment. If the pastor is prosperous, then the people should be prosperous. We got to work together to make a difference. And I think that spirituality is so important because I'm a firm believer that prayer changes things. I'm not talking about hiding behind prayer. Let me get this straight now. This is straight talk. Too many people, I think, they hide behind prayer. And they talk about it, they pray about it, but they're not being about it. We got to literally go, as what the scripture tells us, go into all the world and proclaim the good news. The good news is what people need to hear. It's what it's all about, helping people. Because a lot of people realize that without the help and assistance of others, they stay in the same plight. They stay in the same condition that they're in. And we don't want to leave nobody in that condition. We want to give them the opportunity to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they can make it. They can make it. So those are five particular ingredients I feel is important to help make your city one of the best cities in the United States of America. Let's not give up on America. Yeah, but we got to make America more inclusive. We got to be willing to realize that families, the raising of a family, is the cement that holds this nation together. And not that we omit our singles, yes, because a single is a whole number in itself. And we appreciate them. And everybody has contributions that can make. Embrace a person that is single. Welcome them into your group. Don't isolate yourself. Don't be professionally, we're integrated, but socially we're segregated. So raising up a family is very important. Our schools, we need to be involved in our schools. Be involved with and aware of when are the school board meetings, when are the city council meetings. Take awareness of what's happening in your community and how you have contributions that you can help to make this community a wonderful place where you can raise a family. And support the Chamber of Commerce as they seek to work to not just having a business as usual, a structure that's exclusive and doesn't embrace diversity from City Hall to Pool Hall. It should all embrace diversity. And the job market. The job market should be inclusive. It should be where when you walk in there, you can see the wonders of diversity that is at work there. And that's so important. And when you got a situation like that, it attracts. It attracts cultural reality that is here. Because this is what makes our community strong. And as I said, there should really be no crime. That's the ideal goal, but that's not realistic. So we say low crime. That's right, low crime. Because I don't think it's realistic to say that there's going to be no crime. That's the reason why we have to have officers of the peace who are to protect and serve to help. But we as a neighborhood watchers and workers can work together to enhance and to develop our communities through urban community development. And then graduate retention. It's so important. It's very important. And, of course, lastly, a spiritual climate. So, begin with you. Pray for your community, your neighborhood on a daily basis. This has been Stan Macklin with Straight Talk, talking about ways that we can help our city to be one of the best cities in America. Remember, whatever you're going through, it's not the outlook, but it's the uplook that makes a difference. Have a beautiful day and week.